Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Well, welcome to There Is Hope. What we do is we discuss the topics of addiction and recovery, and we want you to know if you're listening, you can live an overcoming life over addictions. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about honesty and recovery. We're going to share the importance of being honest with whoever may be that mentor in your life. Maybe it's an AA sponsor, a pastor, a good friend, somebody that you're accountable to in regards to recovery. It's important to be honest with them, to be open with them so that they can help you. Well, let's talk about honesty and recovery. I have to share with you that honesty is very critical for true recovery to take place. But if you know anything at all, if you're an addict yourself, you've lived with an addict, you've been around somebody that's struggling with addiction, that you'd be the first to know that honesty is not one of the character traits that most people have that are struggling with an addiction. In fact, most people that have an addiction, they live a life of lies and deception and manipulation. Why is that? Well, there can be a couple of different reasons for it. But the real thing is maybe to cover up their addiction, to hide it from others, and so they have to lie about what's going on in their life. Or maybe it's to feed their addiction, so they got to lie to get money for alcohol or drugs, or they lie about their age so they can go into a bar, and they may be doing something gambling, the same thing. They may be lying to be able to gamble. So what happens is addicts learn how to be some of the best con artists there are out there. And that's what addicts do. That's part of their life, is to do that con job. But here's the sad part for those who are walking in an addiction that are in the midst of that lying and deception, is that those who are lying are being deceived because they don't realize the deception that they're walking in. Somebody once said that the definition of deception is you're deceived and you don't know it. That's why you're deceived. And so individuals who struggle with lying, struggle with being honest with those that love them, that care for them, is they've been so consumed by telling the lies, they start to not know what is truth and what isn't truth, and they're really trying just to hide all the behavior. And what I want to encourage you, again, if you're somebody that's struggling with an addiction, or maybe you're in recovery right now, and you've been walking in recovery for some time, is keep that focus on honesty, being open, being real, being honest with yourself, being real with others. That is part of the road of recovery. And I want you to know something. If you're in the midst of that deception, believe me, there's others that know you. They know that you're lying. Even if they don't know you're lying, they can't put their finger on exactly what's going on. They know something isn't right. There's a behavior that's been different lately. It may be your mindset, your attitude is different. But those around you that really know you, especially a sponsor, a pastor, somebody that's a mentor in your life, again, accountability partner, they know something is going on, and yet you think you're fooling them. This is what the Bible says in Romans 12:3. This is Romans 12:3. It says, "Because of the privilege and authority God has given me," this is Apostle Paul speaking, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by faith God has given us." What that is saying is be careful. There's a verse that says, "I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are." What can happen in the midst of recovery, whatever type of recovery from alcohol, drugs, eating disorder, whatever it may be, is that individuals will start to get kind of haughty. They'll get prideful. They'll start to think, well, I'm doing okay. I don't need to listen to others. I'm doing all right. We've talked about that in the past. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says to evaluate ourselves and that we need to be really taking a look at what's going on within our life. In the 12 steps, there's two steps that address that. Step 4 of the 12 steps states that we should take a moral inventory of our life to really take a look of what we've done in the past, where we're at now. And then step 10 states to continue taking a moral inventory. So many people, they may get to step 4, but they never get to step 10. They're not getting to the place where they're taking a moral inventory. What do you do when you go to sleep at night? Have you looked over your life? Have you looked and seen, how have I lived my life today? What about when you get up in the morning? What are your goals? What is the direction that you're headed? Are you in a direction that you're saying, you know what, today I want to live a life of honesty? Or are you getting up in the morning and saying, I wonder how I can wheel and deal and manipulate to get my way? Well, if you have that kind of attitude, you're probably going to have struggles that day. If you have that kind of attitude, you'll probably live in an addiction for one more day. So I encourage you, do what Steps 10 says, take a moral inventory on a regular basis. I want you to know there's safety in that. You're less likely to be deceived in the progress of your recovery. I want you to know you can live a life of sincerity. Now, notice what I said. I said a life of sincerity, not a life of perfection. Too many times individuals think that what God wants from me is to live a perfect life, and I can't do it, so I might as well give up. Well, believe me, God understands, if anybody, that we can't live that perfect life. We have goals that we want to reach out to try to be a better person. We have a desire to grow and to change, but we're not perfect, but we can live a life of sincerity. Yes, we're going to make some mistakes. We're going to make some bad choices. We're going to fall short, but we don't have to be perfect. What we need to be is someone who's really trusting God to give us the ability to be a sincere, honest person. Now I want to talk a moment about sincerity. It's so many times we're working with individuals who are in the midst of addiction. They get their life in order to an extent, and they become a person that you would say, well, this person is really sincere. They're sincere about recovery. They really want to do things different. And then the next thing you know, they mess up all over again. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, but I want to talk about one of the reasons that I see that happens, and that's because that sincerity is what I call shallow sincerity. It wasn't very deep. So in other words, you have good intentions, you're going to do things the right way, but as soon as there's a temptation, all your sincerity goes out the window. So we need to be careful what type of sincerity we have. Do we have sincerity that's a gift from God, that He's given us that ability to be a sincere person, to be a thankful person, to be an honest person? Or are we just playing games? Is our sincerity just another con artist, a way of doing things? Is it just another means of manipulation? We need to trust in God's wisdom, not our own wisdom. We need to trust God to give us that sincere heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, this is again Apostle Paul sharing, he says, now this is him talking about himself. So here's the Apostle Paul. He is wrote about a third of the New Testament. Very famous individual that even people who don't know much about the Bible probably know something about Apostle Paul. And this is what he has to say about himself. We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have lived with a God-given holiness and sincerity in all our dealings. We have depended on God's grace, not on our own human wisdom. That is how we have conducted ourselves before the world, and especially towards you, Corinthians. What Paul's saying is that he's tried to be sincere in all that he's done. He's tried to live a life of holiness. But what he mentions is it's not on his own efforts. It's on God's grace. He mentions it's not on his own human wisdom, but that he's trusted in God to give him the insight and direction of how to live the right kind of life. Well, Paul said he depended on God's grace, not his own human wisdom. So that's clear that if Paul had to do that, I'm sure that we have to do that, each one of us. So I have a question for you. I want you to think about something. How about you? Are you living a life of sincerity and honesty by trusting God's grace instead of your own wisdom?
Time to take a break. We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover.
So welcome back to There Is Hope. This is your radio host, Richard Dover. If you're just tuning in, we were talking about honesty and recovery. Well, let's talk about recovery and receiving the favor of God and the favor of man. We were talking about that in order to walk in sincerity and honesty, that we have to trust in God's grace. That is God giving us the strength to be able to do that. We can't do that on our own. I don't care if you've ever walked in addiction or not, that all of us have a struggle at times with when it comes to push comes to shove. There's things we may at times wonder, I don't know, do I really need to be on? You get pulled over by an officer and he asks you how fast were you going. I wonder how many people listening. All you Christians that are listening out there, when the officer says, how fast are you going, are you honest? Do you tell him, oh, officer, I was going 20 miles over the speed limit? Well, I tell you, for some of you, you have to trust in God's grace to be able to be that honest. So the reality is all of us can struggle at times with being honest and sincere, but it's God's grace that helps us. I know for some of you, if you're active in addiction, you have learned lying is just to become a habit in your life. That you don't know anything different than to lie. That is almost impossible for you to tell the truth because that's how you survived. That's the way you've made it through the years, is to be able to lie. You've lied to your employer so you haven't lost your job. You lied to your spouse so she wouldn't divorce you or he wouldn't divorce you. Whatever it may be, you've developed just that lifestyle of lying and of not telling the truth. Maybe when you was a kid growing up, you learned it was safe to lie. You learned that you better not say anything. If you do, you're going to get in trouble. And so if you were questioned about things, you wouldn't say a word, or what you do is you lie because you didn't want another beating. Whatever it may be something in the past that has caused you to learn, quote, learn to lie. I don't think you have to really learn it. Little babies, little kids can lie without anybody teaching them how to lie. It's just part of our nature. Without God is to lie. But maybe in the midst of life, you've learned that it was, quote, safe for you to be able to just to lie to get through life. Well, I want you to know that was the past. And if you're going to walk in recovery, you have to let go of the past. You have to move beyond the past. So whatever reason that this morning you got up and you felt a reason to lie, I would encourage you to look at your life and say, maybe there's a different direction I need to go. I want to let you know, true victory over an addiction comes from speaking the truth, not lies. Again, the first step of the 12 steps is we have to acknowledge that we were powerless over the addiction that had power over us and that our lives become unmanageable. And so in order to get set free, the very first thing you have to do is to be honest. You have to tell the truth. And so as an addict, if you want to be able to have the favor of God and the favor of man in your life, you have to learn how to get beyond that deception that you've walked in. Here's what happens. Maybe you've burned many bridges. You've made a lot of mistakes in your life. And you're just at a place you say, you know, I just don't know what good it's going to do to get honest now. The consequences are going to be terrible for me. You know, if I let my sponsor know that for the last 2 weeks I've been drinking or watching pornography, whatever it may be, they're going to reject me. You know, they're just going to give up on me. I want you to know that's a lie. If you have a sponsor, you have a mentor, you have a person that loves you, that cares for you, you have somebody in your life that'll take a phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning and have coffee with you, that isn't a person that's going to give up on you. That isn't a person that's going to throw in the towel because of your struggle that you've had, because of some failure you've had in your life, some mistake you made, some bad choice you made. That person, I believe, is still going to be there. But the key is you got to be honest with them. If you want them to be there to help build some bridges, you know, part of the mending of those bridges is the favor of God, the favor of man. Honesty will help you out in that. Then what I would do is, you know what, come clean. Get honest. Get real. Get honest with yourself. Get honest with others. More importantly, be honest with God. He knows anyways. He knows what's going on. If you know anything at all, we can even deceive ourselves that somehow we can hide something from God, and yet we know deep down that isn't the case. So I want you to just to listen to me for a moment. If you're struggling with an addiction right now, I want you to know that you may feel the people are against you, that the system is against you. You may be blaming others for your bad choices. Can I be bold enough to say to you, it's time to take ownership. It's time to take responsibility for your actions. It's time to take responsibility for the bad choices that you made. It's actually time for you to trust God that if you're honest with man, that you're honest with yourself, and that you're honest with Him, that God can turn your circumstances around. That God can actually make you a person of integrity. That God loves you, He cares for you, and He has a plan for you. But your lying, your deception isn't working. It has only gotten you so far, and it isn't getting you any further. Isn't it time to make a different choice? Isn't it time to go to somebody that loves you and cares for you and get real with them? The Bible talks about confessing our sins one to another so that we may be healed. Now, I wanted to say that you get on this radio show tonight and turn around and confess all your sins with everybody, but I would encourage you to really think about where's your life at right now. As you're listening to me, maybe you can think of an experience that you had, something that you went through, and you learned from that experience. I'd encourage you to give us a call. Maybe you are struggling right now, and you're saying, you know, I just don't know if this telling the truth stuff is going to work. And let you know. Give us a call. Ask us a question. Share something that you've learned, a struggle, whatever it may be. You can call us at 1-800-955-8200. That number is 1-800-955-8200. Well, I'm going to share something my own experience of working with individuals for years. My wife and I have worked with individuals that have been struggling with all types of different addictions. And here's what my wife will tell you, that I will bend over backwards for somebody who's honest with me. If you're honest with me and I'm working with you, I'm helping you to get into treatment, I'm helping you to get into detox, maybe you're interested in moving to one of our houses that Fairhaven House runs, whatever it may be, you're really trying to do something different in life, I can tell you, my wife can tell you, I'll bend over backwards for somebody that's honest, somebody that just comes clean. And I think there's a reason why it's just built in me to be that way. And I think it's something that God put into my character. It isn't who I was. It wasn't who I was going to be. I was going to be a police officer and lock everybody up. So in the old days, if you were honest with me, I would have turned around and turned you into the police and get you locked up and the key thrown away. But God took hold of my life. He's changed my life. And one of the things he's given me is just a burden to work with people who are honest and open about what their struggles are. You know, what the Bible says is if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So I believe if God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, that he calls me as a Christian, as a man of God, that I am obligated that if somebody's honest with me, to be able to forgive them and whatever they may have done, to be able to forgive them and give them another chance. Now, I need to say, at the same time, there are consequences of behavior. There's certain things that individuals do at times that there is going to be a consequence. So God may forgive us, but there's consequences anyways. And I have to let you know why I think honesty is so important. For myself, working with individuals, if a person isn't honest with me, I can't trust them. And if you can't trust a person, it's hard to be able to help a person. And that's what will happen. If you're a person that's living in dishonesty and deception, that what's going to happen is you're going to find it's hard to find people that want to work with you. Because it gets old, to be honest, to work with somebody who every time you turn around, they got another story, they're playing another game. After a while, you say, you know what, I only can work with so many people, and I need to work with somebody that's serious about recovery. Again, remember, your sponsor, your mentor, your pastor, that friend you're accountable to, they're for you. They're not against you. They're not out there to hurt you. But if you continue to lie to them, there may be a point where they say, you know what, I can't help you anymore. I'm sure there's somebody listening that's probably happened to you. You know that. You've burned a bridge with almost every person there is. Well, I want you to know something. There is hope. The reality is you may have burned bridges with every human being, but if you still have a heart that's beating and you still have some kind of remorse, some kind of just a heart of repentance for the things that you've done, that God hasn't thrown the towel in on you, that God is still on your side. He's there. He's that wants to help you. He wants to get you to that other side. He wants to get you to a road of recovery. He wants to get you to sobriety. So maybe you're not able to be honest with anybody out there because you burned every single bridge, but you can be honest with God. He is there. I want to share something else with you, and that's what I tell addicts all the time, is more than I want them to be honest with me, is I don't want them to play me as dumb. Now, I need to explain that to you. Maybe you don't know what I mean by play me as dumb. Doing what I've been doing for many years, counselors who've been doing it many more years than I have, social workers, those individuals that work with people who have an addiction, we've been around the block. I want you to know, we've heard every con story there is. If you have a new one, all you've done is you change the people and places, but it's the same con story. So here's what happens. You have somebody that is your accountability partner. They probably don't want to be played dumb either. You need to know that just because they may be kind, they may be loving, doesn't mean that they're buying into your lies. You may think you have them fooled, but really what's happened is that you're being fooled. You may think that they're dumb, that they don't know that you're trying to wheel and deal and manipulate them. But believe me, they can read between the lines. If they are like me, they may be even at times act a little dumb. They may act like they believe you because they want to just hear what you're going to say to see how far you're going to go with it. They want to find out if you're going to be honest or not. Now, I want you to think about something. Why in the world would you want to lie to a person who is there to help you? Why in the world would you want to deceive a person that's actually there that can help you to be able to get the handle over your addiction? Why would you want to burn a bridge with somebody that's there to help you? What I'm going to do, we need to go to break, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to share after the break what we can do, what we don't want to do And what we do want to do, remember, trying to change our life and turn our life around. We'll talk to you in just a moment.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to There Is Hope. This is your radio host, Richard Dover. If you want to learn all about what There Is Hope is, you can go to our website. The web address is thereishoperadio.org. That is thereishoperadio.org. Well, we've been talking about being honest and recovery. And I want to share in a couple of stories, just in a couple of examples of some things what not to do. That if you're looking for some help and you're wanting somebody to work with you, I'm going to just share some of the things that individuals have done that they don't understand of how that burns bridges. Maybe you've done it yourself and you can make a vow, I'm not going to do that again. Running a clean and sober house is that we always have individuals who are looking for a place to stay. They want a clean and sober house to live in. Our expenses are low. Membership dues are $330 a month. That includes utilities and everything that you need to be able to live in the house. And so it's pretty inexpensive, but we have some requirements that people need, again, be clean and sober. We have drug testing that we do on a regular basis. We work with individuals to work on budgets, since a lot of times for individuals, their handling of their finances is what trips them up to get back into addiction. So we do a variety of things to help individuals, not just a clean and sober house. It's really a discipleship house where we help you to be able to walk a victorious life and truly to experience recovery in your life. And so we get calls at times from individuals, and some we know them from the past, others we don't know whatsoever. But they'll call up and they'll tell us, hey, I'm really serious about recovery. I want to make a difference in my life, and this is the greatest place in the world. You know, I'm looking for a place. We're a faith-based program, so they'll say, I'm looking for a faith-based, clean and sober housing program, and you have the perfect fit for me. And so they'll tell me a good story. They'll tell me all about how they want to change their life, and maybe they're honest. I believe most people calling me are honest. But every once in a while, you get somebody, and you hear that story, and you say, you know, I just don't know if this is true. It just sounds too good to be true. And if anybody knows something, too good to be true is probably not true. But we've taken individuals in and given them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm certainly as susceptible to error. I've made bad judgments. I've made poor choices and decisions at times. And so, you know, best I can, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt and show me that I am wrong. And so